With events such as the movie Tarot being released May 9th, Russell Brand coming to Christ and simultaneously promoting the uses of tarot cards, singer and actress Ariana Grande announces she is a witch, as well as many others. What does this mean for Christians? What should our stance be on all things divination and New Age? Where do we draw the line in what we watch and listen to? Is yoga okay to practice as a Christian? Jen Niza is an ex-psychic whom is now saved, and she is here to share a strong warning for Christians that may see dabbling in these things as harmless. Jen has had a notable appearance on The Michael Knowles Show, is an author, podcaster, and public speaker. Stay tuned with us at Invested with Purpose to dive in and hear more about Jen's extraordinary transformation as a Christian, using her time, talent, and treasure to spread truth and bring glory to God. Invested with Purpose, making the most out of your time, talent, and treasures. Pull up a seat and join us as we uncover powerful testimonies that are sure to move and inspire you. Meet Christians from all walks of life and hear their incredible stories that will both motivate and challenge the way you view the world. These men and women exemplify Christian values and biblical stewardship in areas of mission, finance, entertainment, sports, and more.
We are just going to jump right into it because you have so much to share and we're just so excited about your testimony and your story. So can you tell us a little bit about how old you were when you were introduced to New Age practices and how that led to becoming a psychic?
Well, I was formally introduced to New Age practices at the age of 13 when I had my first tarot card reading. And I was extremely intrigued by this event, honestly. It was definitely a supernatural event. I sat before this tarot card reader and she was able to tell me things that she couldn't have known. And I was in awe. How did these cards know something about me? How did this woman know these details? It wasn't extremely profound, the information, but the information was true. It was accurate. And I wanted more of that after this encounter. So that's what actually set me on that trajectory, that demonic trajectory, because I sought it out after that.
It was addictive.
So addictive. I always say that, Kara, it's like potato chips. You can't just have one. And I'm not trying to be silly with that, but people understand that way of speaking. And it's also like being hungry and having all the food in front of you and eating all the food, but you never get full. Mm. So, because of course, only Jesus Christ can fulfill us.
Right.
See,
and I've seen you talk also about this and how it's like a tease that leaves you hungry for more. They do that on purpose, the spirits that you're encountering, these dark spirits.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, they're going to give you accurate information in readings because anything that they have seen already, they can report with 100% accuracy. And then they're going to throw in the predictions. And that's so people are really signing up for both. They want to have that supernatural phenomenon. They're intrigued by the paranormal, by the supernatural, right? So the paranormal activities are the lights going on and off, you know, the things that demons are messing around with. But then you have that supernatural occurrence where, again, how could this person have known this about me? What's happening? And you think because it suits you and you like it, that it could even be godly or it could be holy or it could be a gift. But you're also going for that future information. You know, we were just talking yesterday in church about covetousness, and you think about it, we're never satisfied with what we have, with what God has given us, right?
That's true.
Just as Eve wanted that hidden knowledge, Adam wanted that hidden knowledge, wanted something that the rest wasn't good enough for them, that God gave them all of the blessings in the garden. And the one thing they shouldn't have touched, they had to have, right? So we think that we're entitled to this future information, not only entitled to it, but we desire it. We crave it. We crave to know what is unknown. And the sad thing is that when you go to demons for that information, which is where all psychic information is coming from. Now, again, that was unbeknownst to me, of course, at the time. and like many today, which is why we talk about this, it's coming from demons, and those demons do not know the future, nor do they care. So they're willing to give you some accurate information because they don't care.
As you, I've watched a lot of your content, and you've spoken about how psychics can almost recruit each other. Mm-hmm. Is that kind of what happened with you?
Yeah. Well, they're always looking to recruit, and it's not the psychic specifically, because the psychic is being used by the demons. So the demons want to recruit their army. So when I went for my first psychic mediumship reading, when I had my first psychic mediumship experience, and then I went to the medium, she told me that I'm a medium and that I need to use this gift, quote unquote, to help people get messages from their departed loved ones.
Mm, so you think you're doing a good job for, or you're doing a good service for someone.
Well, and you want to help. That's the thing. See, not that it matters the appearance of the situation, right? Because there are people in covens with black pointy hats. And then I always make fun of myself. Then you have people like me who were doing readings and shopping at the Gap, business casual, you know, just, mm-hmm. you know, your girl next door type of thing, but still serving the same horde of demonic minions. It's the same thing. It's just as demonic. But I thought I was helping people and I wanted to help people. But yes, in all, I think all, so maybe I shouldn't blanket statement that, but I would bet, if I was a betting person, that at some point or the other in readings, you are going to hear at some point that you need to go to the spiritual center, that you have a gift also, that you should get crystals, you get your own tarot cards, and those demons will also influence you in that way to do those things anyway, because now you're going to be so intrigued by it, you're going to be inclined to go to the metaphysical shop. And now everything's right in your face. You don't even have to go to the metaphysical shop. You can go to Barnes and Noble.
Right, which is shocking. You walk right through, and it's some of the first things that you see.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, which is so, it's very sad what's happening today, honestly.
Right, Ouija boards right there in the center of the aisle. Absolutely.
Yeah. Jen, you keep talking about this intriguing nature of it, and I kind of feel like, you know, we're all so intrigued by this unknown, some of this stuff. And that's why we see all these TV shows like Ghost Hunters and all these things. You know, everyone's in kind of had this mild infatuation is a strong word, but just curiosity about the unknown or ghosts mm-hmm. or spirits. And of course, it permeates movies, it permeates all sorts of things. And it's kind of just kind of fed into our lives in a way that we're constantly looking for something, and yet you talk about the dangers, of course, that are associated with this. Mm-hmm. I mean, from the average person, you know, we feel like it's just harmless fun, but of course, what you're describing is not harmless whatsoever, right?
No, but that's the smoke and mirrors. That's mm-hmm. the illusion that the enemy wants you to have, to think that it's entertainment, to think that it's fun and games. Even how they market the Ouija board as a game. Mm-hmm. They put horoscopes out there. They put astrology on Facebook quizzes. Everything is just desensitizing. The enemy desensitizes people through that. And also it's glamorized in mm-hmm. our culture. Witchcraft is trendy. Mm-hmm. It's hot. It's happening. You know, you take the nostalgia of people that my Kara's age, or you know, the kids in their 20s, and you bring in Vanessa Hudgens, and you bring in people like Taylor Swift, and you mm-hmm. bring in, and it's everywhere. And it's actually a very sinister and nefarious agenda. And what is going on is demonic. People are intrigued by the supernatural, which makes sense, because we are looking for something. All mm-hmm. people are, whether they claim God or don't claim God, we're looking for the fulfillment of Christ Jesus in our hearts.
Yes.
And we are easily led astray and easily distracted, especially when we don't know the truth.
So when we're talking about the dangers of divination, average listener, they might hear divination and not understand what that means, or even New Age practices. So can you break that down for those that don't know, like under that umbrella? So we're talking, you know, even Reiki and then tarot cards mm-hmm. and Ouija boards. Can you fill in that picture for our audience?
Sure. So divination in and of itself is when you are going to creation to extract hidden meanings, esoteric knowledge for yourself, using creation to do that. Such some tools, like we mentioned already, are tarot cards. That's a tool of divination. It's a cardboard card with paintings on it. But you're going to that thing to get some sort of insight, knowledge, or wisdom in your life instead of going to God. Same as divination is also seeking communication with spirits. And I do the air quotes on that one because we know there's only the Holy Spirit, right. mm-hmm. which is the third person of the triune Amen. God, and then demons. So you think you're communicating with dead people. Some people call them ghosts. So this is also divination. Under that umbrella term, you see things like astrology, numerology. You see, because you're going to planets, the stars, the sun, the moon, to get your wisdom, again, to get some sort of knowledge. The sun does not know if you're going to get a new job in a month from now. A star or a group of stars do not know whether you are good with money or you're a bad cook or you're sluggish mm-hmm. right. or whatever. And so that's divination. But you see, people keep going to it and actually rest the outcomes of their life on demonic guesses, on demonic information, because it satisfies them in the moment. It's instant gratification. But that's why you see you have to keep going and going, because it's the counterfeit. It can't fulfill mm-hmm. you.
Absolutely.
So it's a lie.
So the story that you gave your story, I can't remember if it was on TikTok, and I was really hooked. And you were talking about a drive that you took at night. Mm-hmm. And I think you know where I'm going with this. And it was just so profound. Was that story, I would like you to share it with us, but was that the red flag moment? Was that like the moment that was illuminating for you that this was the wrong path that you'd been on?
I wish I could say yes. I wish I could say yes, but unfortunately, no. That was not. It still continued for some time after that. So what Kara is referencing is when I was a psychic medium, I did private readings, but I also did group readings. And when I used to go for group readings, it scared me because, yes, I had an element of fear. I wouldn't have called demons. I wouldn't have known that they were demons. I just thought that, like any other New Ager or psychic, that I could control the spiritual realm, and there were good spirits and bad spirits. So when there was something quote unquote bad, I would be afraid. And I think that I had that sense before I would even go to the group reading, because I was always afraid to drive home at night and I was afraid in the dark. So what happened was I would go to these group readings, and these familiar spirits, which is another term, AKA demon, familiar spirits are familiar with you, your family, for generations, and they look like a person. I know that's a difficult thing to grasp, but yeah. How they manifest themselves is like your grandma, your grandpa, you know, that's who is talking to you in the reading. It's a demon. So I would see these familiar spirits. They would come back with me after these group readings, and they'd be on the highway, and I'm doing 55, 60 miles per hour in the dark by myself, and I would see these familiar spirits on the road and in the car with me. Oof. And now, yeah, and that's the thing now. This ministry that I have now causes me to think back on all of these things, and it's so eye-opening to see the level of evil and how it points to the truth of God's word, which is the truth, right? Because the enemy seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. Mm. Yeah. I could have died had I stopped short. When you see a familiar spirit, a demon in the road, and you're driving 60 miles per hour, God forbid I had stopped short and there was a car behind me or something. I could have
died. Or swerved and, yeah.
Or swerved and got hurt, or right, whatever. But it also shows how the devil cannot thwart God's plan.
That's right.
For your life. So though the devil may have sought to destroy me, he couldn't because it wasn't in God's plan. That devil and those demons are on a short leash.
Absolutely. So like you mentioned scripture and how many times in scripture we're warned against mm-hmm. these things. So just mm-hmm. off, you know, the top, 2 Chronicles 33:6, Leviticus 19:31, Revelation 16:14, Isaiah 8:19. And I'm sure you have plenty more.
Right. Well,
Deuteronomy 18:10-12.
Let's not forget, I mean, when Jesus was here on earth, I mean, he cast demons out of people, threw them into pigs, and they threw themselves into the water. I mean, like, mm-hmm. these are not to be trifled with. I mean, this is something that, you know, 2,000 years later, we look back and we're like, oh, that's a great story. It's an interesting story. No, I mean, people were scared to death when they saw that stuff. I mean, it is not to yeah. play with. Right. And if it's something that's serious enough to, like, make pigs run off a mountain, I mean, wow. You
know? We're studying Mark yeah. right now in our morning Bible study. Yeah. So that one's fresh in our
yeah,
minds.
Fresh in my mind. Yeah.
Yes, I can see. And that's why the enemy, because we see in 2 Corinthians 11:14-15 that Satan masquerades as an angel of light. And it's no wonder that his servants would masquerade as servants of righteousness. Mm. So if you were seeing it the way they were seeing it then, which in some cases we do, but the devil today, I think, is doing such a job. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say great job, right. but doing such a job of masquerading between glamorizing it and also making it seem like it's a healing, it's so wonderful, it's light and love, don't worry about it, you could burn some sage, you've got this under control, you know, making you have to be your own God, a baby God, but also that it is not at all what it's, making it seem like something that it's not.
Absolutely.
So I have an interesting question for you. There is some debate in Christendom about the practice of yoga and how that can call upon things and different things like that. Now, my experience with yoga is through, like, P90X. So shout out to Tony Horton. I love that guy. He helped me get in shape. And he had, like, this – one of his programs had a yoga thing, which was basically stretching, you know, and, like, he named all the moves that I was doing and stuff. But I've always been curious because I've read a lot about this. And, like, you know, when you get deep into this yoga type stuff and you're chanting and you're doing this kind of stuff, can you give us some thoughts on that?
Oh, definitely. I would encourage any and all people to stay away from yoga. Yoga is actually not just stretching and breathing. And I know that's one of the enemy's mm-hmm. tactics to push it out, especially now with people with anxiety and stomach issues, arthritis, so on and so forth. But it's not. It's actually a Hindu spiritual practice. And the spiritual aspect cannot be separated from the practice. Mm-hmm. It is the core of their spirituality. And what they're actually doing, these postures, are deliberate postures worshiping their false gods, that's with a little mm-hmm. G, they're false deities, aka demons, and they have over 330 million of them. You're contorting your body into a graven image, mm-hmm. worshiping their demons, right. therefore, or thereby opening doors, opening demonic doors. And you know, some people will say, but it's holy yoga, right. or I'm just putting on some worship music, and I'm not doing om, or I don't know how
yeah,
do
yeah.
I'm a Yeah, I'm not doing namaste. I'm not doing that. I love Jesus. Okay, well, in the words of my very dear friend Doreen, who says, well, would you put scripture on a Ouija board and say, okay,
yeah. Conviction.
There are just certain things, and it's so tricky that even the Bible says that Satan can even do things that would could possibly confuse the elect.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that's why it's important for us to test the spirits, 1 John 4:1, mm-hmm. of course.
Oh, absolutely. And this leads into a question that I have for you. Okay, so we're on the same platforms, on the same social media platforms, and you may be familiar with this name if I throw it out, but I'm not going to name drop. I'm just going to say that there is one particular influencer or creator that has about 2 million followers, and she's saved, but she also, you know, claims to be ex-psychic, and you may know her by Auntie, and I won't say the rest of the name.
I knew from the 2 million followers we were talking about.
And, you know, she just has such a lovely, you know, way about her. And I do love when she speaks about Jesus. But the difference between your content and, say, her content is that you're educating, but you don't stay there in that dark place. You give the people the hope and you do it quickly. And you point people in the right direction right from the get-go. And with some of this content that I feel she puts out, I feel like it focuses quite a bit on the darkness and almost stays in it. Do you feel like there's a danger in giving demons too much credit and too much power?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. See, we never want to glorify demons, give them too much. Well, first of all, they deserve no credit for anything. But we do have to be very careful about that, because then people can hyper-focus on that part. They can hyper-focus on the demonic part when in truth and in fact, we have the victory of Christ Jesus, who is the authority over these demons. And we don't have to be in fear of them. However, I do say we need to know who our opponent is. That's important, right? That's to train our spiritual eye so that when the lies start coming at us, oh, we know those are lies, and we know that's coming from the demonic versus, of course, the Word of God. So we need to test the spirits for that. Yes, we need to be extremely careful not to over-demonize. In fact, I'm going to be doing a video today for my YouTube channel on that very topic. Mm-hmm. With demons, because I got called out on Instagram. Yeah, may as well put this out there.
Hey, why not?
For having a Starbucks cup, for drinking Starbucks, because of the marine spirits and this and the other.
Right.
And it just made me think to myself.
I've been called out for the same thing. The exact same thing.
I mean, listen, here I am, right? And I encourage people not to go near music that has been automatically written, because that's channeling demons. But when you're talking about a company or a business, we here, living in corporate America and everything else, we're on TikTok. We've shopped at Amazon. We go to Barnes & Noble. We go to CVS, whether you're going for your medicine. These companies, where do you think the money is going to? Unfortunately, it's getting into hands that do the work of the evil.
You're absolutely correct. That is, those are principles we stand on at Timothy Plan. Absolutely.
So I want to have that conversation. I'm going to have a conversation today. Where do we draw the line? Let's have a balance. Let's have a balanced conversation, because as Christians, again, we shouldn't be afraid to go to the coffee shop. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't be afraid. I mean, and then you get into the whole Christian liberty thing. Listen, if it's an issue for you and you come to my house, I won't have it, because I don't want to have an issue for you.
Right, a stumbling block. I mean?
Right. So there's so much that goes into that.
Well, we believe there's a difference between purchasing goods and, say, being an owner of, say, a stock.
Right,
company.
Right.
So that's the line that we draw in the sand. So that's helpful. Where we stand on that. So when I am watching you on your lives, the one thing that stands out to me the most is how incredibly gentle you are when communicating with both non-believers and those that see themselves as Christians, but also dabble in these things. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they're not always polite. No. And sometimes it's a bit of a challenge, you know. But I've watched you handle all of that with such grace. Tell me about it and how you got to this place where you can do that today, because not everybody can stand in the face of, you know, I don't want to say the enemy, but people that are opposing you, and do it with the kindness and grace that you do it with.
I truly appreciate that encouragement, Kara. Sometimes I don't realize it because I'm Italian. I'm from New York. Sometimes my passion, I feel, could be mistaken for possible rudeness.
No, it's assertiveness. It's good.
Thank you. I appreciate that so much. It has been a work in progress, I think, because the Lord placed me in this mission field in 2020. And in the beginning of it, I remember being I wanted to quit within week one because of attacks that were coming at me. And the Lord has provided such strength. I can do nothing apart from Him. This is all thanks and glory to Jesus and His strength and strengthening me throughout the course of the last 4 years, because even when my first account got shut down on TikTok after I posted a Ben Shapiro video that went viral, I got the boot. And I, at that point, I think I had 33,000 subscribers or whatever. And I'm like, I'm tired. I don't want to do this again.
Ooh, ouch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And about a month later, the Lord was like, no, you're not done. You're getting back in there. So I went back in there and things changed. And I said, Lord, while I'm getting back in there, this is your account. This is your page. This is your mission field. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to do whatever you want and lead me however you want it to go. And I kept doing the lives. The lives is the one thing that has remained steady, because with the videos and the algorithm and mm-hmm. you're not doing the dances or you're not putting the popular music sometimes or whatever, you get lost in the shuffle. But the lives, I have such a desire for evangelism. So I'm on there, and then the Lord's letting all these different people come my way. And I think you just learn over that period of time. You remember your own humility before the Lord, how much God has graced me. Lord, help me to be gracious to other people. And I thank you. And I do pray that that would be seen and people would know how much I love them. Otherwise, I wouldn't even be doing what I do, because I could sit here and be quiet and not get the hate too. Mm-hmm. But out of the love for souls, not perishing, but coming to Christ and having eternal life, that's the love that compels us to do it. Amen.
Well, too many of us as Christians are content to sit quiet because we don't want the hate. We don't want to be in the front lines of these things. So thank you for doing that.
You touched on four lies that you are told when doing these New Age practices of how to protect yourself. Mm-hmm. Could you cover those with our audience? Because I thought some of those, especially number three, was very interesting about the Lord's Supper.
Ah, mm-hmm. yes. I don't have the list in front of me, but off memory, smudging, which is burning white sage. You believe that you can protect yourself from negative, if that's the video.
Yes, it
that
is.
You're thinking of. Okay, okay. That you believe, I was exposed to this in the divination group that I landed in the very beginning of the mediumship, and because I hadn't known about white sage. So it's a cultural practice, and the idea, the concept is that you can rid yourself of demonic, hold on, negative, I'm so sorry to call anything demonic, negative energies and clear your space. And so we would do this before we would go into divination. I would do that as part of my ritual before doing readings. So this, of course, is a false tool of protection because demons are not afraid of sage.
I mean, when you think about it practically, it sounds kind of ridiculous. Yeah.
So much of it does now. I have to be honest with you. I'm like, how did I think the moon knew what was going to happen in my life? You know, it's like, what was I doing? But anyway, you're so blinded and you're so deceived. You really believe it because you really see these things happening and you're looking for the answer. You're looking for the solution. So that's my quote. The New Age is going to the problem for the solution. And you keep doing it and doing it, of course, right? So you have that, and I always say, eat your sage, don't burn it. It's not good to eat. It is delicious.
Right. It's delicious. What a waste of sage.
The one that makes me laugh now, and please know that I laugh because to me it seems sort of, you know, so outlandish. Mm-hmm. Imagining white light around myself was going to protect me from evil entities or evil spirits or whatever I thought they were. At the time, literally my imagination. So now demons are afraid of imagination? No, I don't think so. Okay. And how much white light would you have to imagine? You have to think about it, right? How much would you even have to? It's
like a chalk drawing around you.
Yeah. Yeah. That was, yes. Like the, at the crime scene. That's what the, at the, around your body, the outline. So we had that. Then we had, the Lord's Prayer. When I went into that divination group, the leader would say, of course, she was some loose form of Catholic. I was raised culturally Catholic. So there's the hook there too, right? The Our Father. To say this prayer of protection, any prayer is not going to protect you while you're practicing divination. This is not how God works. Okay.
And it would help if, you know, you're saved too, so he can hear your prayer and, you know.
Yeah. Right. Of course. Well, yes. Right. Yes. That, but see, that's where people get tripped up a lot. They think we're all children of God and we're not. We're not children of God until we become born again and put our faith and trust, belief in Lord Jesus. Before that, we're at war with God. We're children of our father of lies, the devil. Right. The only prayer that God hears from the unbeliever is the prayer for repentance. Right. The prayer to be saved. So yeah, no, God's not. Yeah, that's not how that works. And I don't remember, because it was a while ago, but the video was the, because there are so many tools of false tools of protection. Was it crystals?
I believe so.
Or maybe salt, cinnamon, yeah. You know, all the things. Bottom line is that creation is not going to protect you from demons. Jesus Christ is the only protection we have against demons, because they bow down only to Lord Jesus, just as all creation does, even the rocks.
The rocks will cry out
his name. Right. So that's the deception, but again, making you your own God and making you in control, right? Oh, I can do this and everything will be fine, or I can do this. And sometimes it may seem to relax the situation a little bit, right? But that's just the illusion, once again, and it's temporary.
And leads to what some people may not recognize about oppression is that it can take on the form of depression. So mental health issues, you're doing all of these things because you want to feel better about yourself. You want to feel more energy. You want to feel more, you know, revitalized, whatever it is that you're craving. And you end up actually in a darker space.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the vulnerability that the enemy preys on, because you don't feel good, or you're sad, or you're, you know, what, lonely, curious, all those things. And then that's again, the going to the problem for the solution, because then you go to these new age practices for healing and this knowledge that you think is truth and isn't, because it's the counterfeit. And then you end up with that oppression. Well, then you're oppressed. Now you've got to go back. Now you're going to do another thing. You see, it's just an endless cycle. That's why we always call it, in the ex-new age group here, the hamster wheel. You'll always be on that hamster wheel until you come to Christ. He's the only one. Yeah, and that's where I don't like to, I call myself the bad guy. I don't want to be the bad guy. In fact, I think it makes me one of the good guys to say and warn you about the symptoms of oppression, because people honestly believe that they can do these practices over and over and over again. And then when those things happen, guys, oh, it's not at all because I was doing that. That's not what I just have bad luck, or I just didn't burn enough sage, or I just didn't do. You've got to know where the thing, because destruction is certain to happen. That oppression is certain. It's a certainty. Right. That's what I want people to understand. It is whether, and that's why I always say, don't believe what you're looking at on TV. You're watching the Ghost Hunter show. You're watching the Long Island Medium, and she's, you know, out there and what. You don't go home with these people. You don't go home with these people. They're not going to show you that part, but trust me, it's happening. Mm.
And we are so good at rationalizing our way into almost anything. I mean, you can talk your way into, you know, I mean, God will be there. He's going to protect me, or you know, he'll go before me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's not, you know, not if you're going to step into direct sin, you know.
Right. His word is very specific.
So true.
Well,
yeah.
Tell us a little bit about where everyone, our audience, can find you. Tell us about your new books. Actually, you have a new book, and this is two now for you, correct?
I have two that are out there, From Psychic to Saved and Out of the New Age into the Truth, which are both available on Amazon and through my website. Everything's linked on my website, www.xpsychicsaved.com. That'll link you to all the platforms and some interviews and my podcast. I am writing a new book now, which I am actually super excited about. This is going to be, it's my memoir, and it's going really from soup to nuts, how I became oppressed, what my life looked like, what life was like serving devils, of course, then how I come to salvation and the ministry over the last 10 and a half years. So I pray that it would bless people.
I'm sure it will. Well, you're just incredible, and thank you so much for sharing your story with us and with our audience. I pray that God's going to expand your ministry to reach thousands and millions more. Hey, if that other creator can have 2 million, you can have 4 million, right? I'm going to pray that over you because yeah. people are desperately Thank craving you. The message yeah. and the gospel. And they need Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so we Amen. Thank you for being a vessel of hope.
Yes.
Thank you for having me. God bless you and your
God bless you, you.
Invested with Purpose is brought to you by Timothy Partners Limited, advisors of the Timothy Plan Funds. Timothy Plan is America's first pro-life, pro-family investment company focusing on both mutual funds and ETFs. Some of our podcast guests may have a relationship with Timothy Partners Limited on behalf of Timothy Plan, including affiliations, partnerships, or sponsorships. However, guests are not compensated for their appearances, and their opinions do not constitute paid testimonials. Please be aware that investments carry risks and individual experiences may vary. Consult with a financial advisor for personalized advice.